Acts chapter 27, we'll begin reading with verse 14. But not long after these, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Aerodiclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. I'd like to talk to you this morning about strong anchors for life's stormy seas. Strong anchors for life's stormy seas. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. We ask that you would help us to see the anchors that you have given us, that, Lord, we, as we go through stormy seas, the stormy seas of life, that we would be able to cast these anchors and find hope and deliverance. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these brave soldiers find themselves in the middle of a storm, and so they cast out four anchors in an effort to save the ship and to save their lives. Sadly, those anchors were ineffective against the storm, and the ship was ultimately lost. But Paul was on board that ship, and God had a special plan and a special purpose with Paul. He wasn't done with him yet. And he was on a mission, and he was going to make sure that Paul would complete this mission. And I think that Paul had some anchors himself. And as he cast these anchors, he was able to remain anchored in the midst of the storm, even though the ship wasn't. The sailors threw the anchors into the sea in an attempt to steady the ship. It didn't work. But as Paul threw his anchors out and put his trust in the Lord, they were effective. They worked. The ship was battered. The ship was torn, but Paul was able to stand strong. I'd like to take a few moments this morning to share with you what those four anchors were that Paul had in his life that enabled him to stand steady and strong in the midst of the storm. Because I have an idea that there are some that are going through storms this morning. I have an idea that there will be some that will be going through storms in the near future. You know, our economy is in such turmoil. Our world is in such turmoil. We're all thinking, what's going to happen with the next election? And we begin to see the storms that could arise because of that. And even now we're having storms. What are the anchors that we can throw down and find that we can stay steadfast despite these storms? The first strong anchor is the strong anchor of the presence of God. Would you look at verse 23? The strong anchor of the presence of God. Paul said, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Even in the midst of the storm, Paul discovered that he was not alone. The Lord came to him and brought peace to his heart. Regardless of the situation you find yourself in, If we can have confidence and have the same kind of relationship with the Lord that Paul had, we can have faith that God's presence is there. Even though we might not see his manifest presence as Paul did, we can still have the assurance that God is with us and will be with us through every situation and will be with us always, because the promises are true. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, Jesus said. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there, I will be with you. And then the end of that great psalm, Psalm 23, says, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. Like two blessed footmen, goodness and mercy will follow us every single day of our life up to the end of life. Second strong anchor that we see here is the anchor of the promises of God. The strong anchor of the promises of God. Look at verses 24 and 25. Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe the promise of God. I believe it's going to happen just like God told me it would happen, and we're going to make it. We're going to make it to safety. We're going to be kept alive. And as Paul was weathering that terrible storm, the Lord came to him with that precious promise. You're going to stand before Caesar, Paul, and I'm going to save you alive, and I'm going to spare all those that are on the ship with you as well. And this strong anchor, this was a blessed assurance to Paul, because Paul believed God. He believed his word. He had written in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God's promises are steadfast and true. Look at some of the promises that God has for the believer. First, there's the promise of brighter days. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy will come. The morning will come. It won't be night forever. There will be joy in the morning. There's the promise of deliverance. Psalm 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Very important word. God delivers the righteous from all of his afflictions. Everything happens for our good is another promise. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purposes. How many things work together for good? All things work together for good. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Listen, if God gave the things that was dearest to his heart, if he offered his son as a sacrifice on the cross for us, if he was willing to give that, don't you think he's going to give anything else that we would need as well? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The promise of divine grace, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. And the promise of ultimate glory, Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Listen, God's word will stand forever. God's promises will always be true. Even though this world will be in flames. Psalm 119 and verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. One of my favorite books is Pilgrim's Progress. I think every time I read it, I learn something else. Such a deep book. But there's one memorable part that I keep going back to is Pilgrim, he's walking down this meadowy bypath, And eventually the ground becomes soggy and filled with poisonous vines. The sky becomes black, and Christian spends the night huddled under the foot of an oak tree, caught in a downpour. Next morning, giant despair comes upon him, captures him, imprisons him, beats him, puts him in the dungeon of Doubting Castle. Doubting Castle with its grim battlements and thick black walls. Christian tried to sing, but he couldn't. His mood was like the dungeon he was in. His mood was dungeon dark. Giant despair beat him mercilessly, beat him day after day. Christian's growing weaker and weaker and weaker. At last, he finds himself with a knife, a rope, and a bottle of poison, the tools of suicide. For a moment, he thinks about ending his misery. But then one night, as he had spent a night in prayer, a little before day, Christian is amazed, and he breaks out into this passionate speech. He says, "What a fool am I, thus to lie in a stinking dungeon when I may as well walk at liberty? I have a key in my bosom called promise that will, I am sure, open any lock in Doubting Castle." I wonder today if there's anybody here that's in despair. The devil just has been having his way with you. He's been beating you, placed you in a dark room. You feel imprisoned, you feel entombed, you feel alone. Your mood is dark. He's got you in depression. He's got you in despair. He has you where he wants you. Could I suggest to you today that there is a key of promise for the situation that you are in? And you don't have to remain in the dungeon of darkness when God has provided a key of promise, a key to open the bars of the prison that you are in and to let you walk out of those dungeons to sunshine and to walk out in where it's free, where you can find liberty and peace again. You see, the devil wants to keep you locked up. He wants you to be in despair. But Jesus Christ has come to set you free, and whoever he sets free is free indeed. And I would suggest to you that there is a promise in God's word for the situation that you are in. If you could find the promise, if you could find the key and open the door and unlock it, then you can be free from the devil who wants to chain you. Claim the promises of God as an anchor for your soul. The third strong anchor is the strong anchor of the providence of God. The providence of God. Look at verse 24. The angel's saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." My providence, my sovereign will for you, Paul, is that you will go and you will stand before Caesar. My promise to you is that God will spare every single person on this ship alive. And so Paul is told by the Lord that this storm, you know, get this, this storm is a part of working out God's will for his life. If it wasn't for this storm, Paul would not have found God's will. This storm was the tool, was the means by which God was working out his plan for Paul's life. Now, where was the safest place for Paul to be at this time? It was in the storm. It was in the ship. Because the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. And so that's why Paul was. He was willing the Lord, and God is working out this situation for his glory. Do you know that God does the same thing in your lives as well? You have to believe that God is the one that's in charge. God is in control. He is a sovereign Lord. And that he has not lost control of the events that happens in your life. You know, I would not want to live in this world another second if I didn't believe that God had everything in control. I mean, it would scare me with the possibilities that our world could take But ultimately, I believe that God is in control and his plan is going to be carried out. His plan is in here. Not every detail is in here, but we know that we're going to make it to the end. In the end, we're going to be saved. Christians will win out. God has a plan. It's a sovereign plan. He's going to work it out. But he orders the storms. And if God orders the storms, then I can weather them. He knows what's best, and he sends the best into your life and mine. The best thing that we can do is to wait out the storm and just cling to him as our refuge until the storm passes by. Listen to these verses, Psalm 57:1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. How long? Until these calamities be overpassed. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. I thought I'd give you a story from American history to illustrate this, since this is 4th of July weekend, Independence weekend, and the year is actually 1776. The Declaration of Independence has just been signed. George Washington has at his disposal 6 to 7,000 American soldiers. But understand, most of his soldiers are poorly trained. They don't have the needed equipment. He's faced with a big problem because England had just sent over their number one general, General Howe. Howe had himself 32,000 trained soldiers. Washington made a mistake. He took all of his soldiers, those 6 to 7,000, and he put them all on Long Island. Long Island was separated by a river called the East River. General Howe launched his 32,000 soldiers on that island. Now, Washington at this time didn't realize the dilemma he was in, but thank God for an American governor, Governor Turnbull. He knew that Washington needed soldiers, and he made an appeal to the people of his state of Connecticut. Here's a quote from that speech. This is the day of calamity. To trust altogether in the justice of our cause without all our exertion would be tempting providence. March on, I say. This shall be your warrant. Play the man of God. And for the cities of God, may the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, be your captain, your conductor, and your Savior. Wouldn't you like to hear a governor give a speech like that today? But after that fiery speech, Governor Turnbull, Washington secured an additional 3,000 soldiers. So now he's got between 9 and 10,000 soldiers, still a far cry from 32,000. He's still badly outnumbered. He crossed over the East River with some of his men. They formed a small circle around the island to keep the British from taking New York Harbor. But the Americans couldn't hold. In large, this was due to the fact that they were so badly outnumbered and the British were attacking them at the weakest point. Washington took his hat off, looked through his spy scope and said, "Good God," I believe it was a prayer, "what good men I must lose this day." And then he ordered a retreat, and so slowly they began to maneuver backward. They ended up all the way on the edge of Long Island. There was no place to go with the East River at their back. They were in a pickle. The British began to move soldiers into position. General Howe said something to this effect, "We'll capture that old fox in the morning." The war would be over. The Declaration of Independence just signed. This was a dismal situation. But remember that whenever there is a dismal situation in your life, there's still a God who sits on the throne, the God of providence, who will provide. Washington began to pray and ask God for wisdom. I believe that God was the one who inspired him to do this most amazing thing. He gathered his counselors around him and said, "We're going to evacuate by rowing." They said, "How can we row with the British in full view?" The British, some say, were literally a stone's throw away. They had set up camp just waiting for the light of day to make their attack. Even though this war had just started, it appeared that would all be over in the early hours of the morning. Washington convinced his men this was the only way. He admitted that it was a desperate attempt that they would do it, but they would do it at night. About that time, a strong wind came up. God ordered a storm, so to speak. A wind so strong that Admiral Howe, General Howe's brother, had to take his ships and put them out to sea for fear of them being dashed along the shore. Providence. If the ships had been there, they couldn't have escaped. The ship's sentries would have seen their rafts, their boats, going back and forth. There, Washington got General Thomas Mufflin to keep the British from seeing the maneuver. He had General Mufflin line his soldiers up. They stood straight like bean poles. It looked like a whole regiment was on guard. Little did he know that the British know that behind their backs, the Americans began the launch. Washington had a group of men from Massachusetts who had been rowing since they were little kids. They were expert oarsmen. They began to row. 1 mile they would row out full, then they would row back empty. They'd get up another group of soldiers, they'd row out full, they'd come back empty. The wind was doing another thing, the wind was keeping the noise down. Washington needed some more boats. They could never evacuate all the men and supplies in time, it was still dark. They needed more time. The story goes that a woman by the light of the moon had seen those launches. She was a loyalist. She told her servant to go to General Howe and tell him the old fox was escaping. But an amazing thing happened. They ran into German Hesses. They worked for King George, the King of England, but they couldn't speak a word of English. And so they kept that servant there all night, not thinking that it was important enough to wake up General Howe. About 2 a.m., the wind died down. Now the oarsmen had to be extremely quiet. Then, for some unknown reason, General Mufflin thought he could evacuate. They were in a hurry because when it got light, nobody else would get off the island. They had left their post for 30 minutes before Washington found out and ordered them back. They could have ruined the day. But the amazing thing is that the British sentries never noticed these soldiers were gone. Meanwhile, the Americans are paddling. They're rowing those boats, 1 mile out full, 1 mile back empty. 1 mile out full, 1 mile back empty. And then a terrible thing. The light of dawn is about to come. Washington figured they still needed additional hours. George Washington got on his knees and cried out to God. Say, "Oh God, deliver us." The most amazing thing happened. A heavy fog came over the East River. It was reported by one man that the fog was so thick you could not see 18 inches in front of your face. George Howe wasn't worried. They aren't going anywhere in this fog. The British used this time to get ready to attack. Washington, meanwhile, was taking advantage of the time. 1 mile out full, 1 mile back empty. 1 mile out full, 1 mile back empty. When the last launch was about 3/4 of a mile down the river, the fog began to lift up from the ground. General Howe sounded the charge. The British rushed in with their bayonets. They looked everywhere for the American soldiers. Finally, they looked across the water. 3/4 of a mile down the river was the last of Washington's troops. General Washington and his men escaped. It's the most amazing story. But you know, when I read stories like that and I see God's hidden hand of providence on America in the past, I tell you, it gives me hope for the future. It's the only thing that does give me hope for the future. And I believe that God will allow us to exist as long as we continue to work for Him and do the things that He commands us to do. And as long as we stay in the boat, though the storm may rage all around us, He'll bring protection. He'll put His divine providence to work. V. Raymond Edmonds said this, "First He brought me here. It is by His will I am in this strait place. In that fact I will rest. Next, He will keep me here in His love and give me the grace to behave as His child. Then he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons he intends for me to learn, and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when, he knows. So he said, let me say it this way. I am here, first of all, by God's appointment. I am here, secondly, in his keeping. I am here, thirdly, under his training. And I am here, fourthly, for his time. Notice this, even after Paul received the promise from the Lord that they would be spared, the men still tried to take matters into their own hands. Some even tried to get off the ship. Even in the midst of God's promise, some still feared and fretted and fought. There was just one guy who was enjoying the trip, Paul. Why? Because he believed God. And he was using God's truth as an anchor. You know, we live in a day when people are jumping ship at an alarming rate. The storms of life attack them. They run from the church. They run from the old ship of Zion. Can I just remind you that the best place to be in a storm is in the center of God's will? If that's in a ship in the midst of the storm, then that's where you need to be. That's where the Lord wants you. And if you leave the ship, listen to me, if you leave the ship, you have to face the fury of the storm by yourself. And you don't have the anchors that are necessary to let you survive that storm by yourself. You need to stay in the ship. You need to stay in the relationship. You need to stay in the church. Whatever that ship might be, you need to stay there. You need to be where the Lord placed you, because there he can take care, in his providential way, he can take care of your life and work out his plan to completion. The last anchor is the strong anchor of the performance of God. Paul was convinced that whatever the Lord promised, he was also able to perform. Verse 44 of Acts 27 says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. It happened just exactly like God said it would happen. And after he gives you the promise, you might have to stay in the storm for a while. For how long, only he knows, but it'll happen. The promise will come just like God said it would. What he has promised you, he will bring to pass. Everyone was brought safely to shore. God kept his word. God is able to work it all out. He will get you through your storm and land you safely beyond it. Does it look like your boat's going to sink sometimes? Unfortunately, it does. It might even seem that the storm is going to prevail. However, when the waves have all settled down and the winds have stopped blowing, when the rains have abated, and when the storm clouds have moved off to the horizon, you will see that God has been in control all along. I can promise you that no storm in this life will ever blow you off the course God has determined for your life. He will secure you during the storm and successfully deliver you to the safety of his harbor for his glory. Corrie ten Boom said it this way, when Jesus takes your hand, he keeps you tight. When Jesus keeps you tight, he leads you through your whole life. When Jesus leads you through your life, he brings you safely home. Have you put down the four anchors this morning? The anchors necessary to weather life storms? If you haven't cast those anchors, you can expect to be blown about by the storm. But if you would cast those anchors, God will see to your safety. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? What are those four anchors? The anchors of God's presence, his promises, his providence, and his performance those four anchors. I wonder this morning, how many here would, by raising your hand, admit, Pastor, I'm going through a storm. There's a storm in my life. Could I see your hand? Could God see your hand? Okay, you could put your hand down. But I want to encourage you to do something this morning. I want you to pray something like this. Doesn't have to be these exact words, but right where you're sitting today, would you just pray something like this? Lord, I cannot fix my situation. I cannot calm the raging seas of my life. And I cannot still the winds that blow against me. I need help today. By faith, I cast the anchors of your presence. I cast the anchor of your promises. I cast the anchor of your providence. I cast the anchor of your performance into my stormy sea. I am resolved to trust you to walk under my storm and speak peace when it's your will to do so. Until then, I will not fear, I will not fret, and I will not fight. I will trust you to do what is best for me. Father, you know how many people prayed that prayer or a similar prayer this morning. Lord, just speak assurance and hope to their heart, even as you did to Paul in the middle of that hurricane. May their confidence, may their trust, may their hope be in you this morning, O Lord, our refuge, our strength, a mighty deliverer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.